Welcome to 305 Radio. My name is Struck.
And I'm Dreamov.
And today we got a special guest. An artist. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome RJ to the show.
Welcome, RJ.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the show, bro. So, RJ, are you nominated?
Technically, no, but I am... Louder? Better? Same?
A lot better.
Bet.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Technically, no. Not a Miami native, but a citizen of the world, so to speak. So I think we're all part of the same community, family, and vibe.
Okay, fair enough.
What's a border if not just a made-up line?
This is true.
Now we're going to start getting deep. It's kind of early in the show, but...
Yo, we're a minute in and we're already...
What is a border?
What is a border? Do you have boundaries?
Is the earth flat?
Damn.
It's perspective.
The perspective. It's all... Hey, depends where you're standing.
Absolutely.
So what does that mean to you? Because you say you're not from here, but you're here and you're here to stay. So tell me a little bit about who you are, what you do, and what ties you to Miami.
Definitely. I mean, I am, when I say like a citizen of Earth, I just think that everybody is a human and we all kind of share similar experiences. You could be on one side of the planet and again, you have the same type of situation, family relationships, friendships, love life that someone in a completely different country lifestyle has. So coming from the New York, New Jersey area, I tell everyone I grew up on the Hudson River because I'd just go back and forth between the two. I was born in the Bronx. My family moved over to Jersey when I was young, went back to New York for college and yeah, just never stopped. But Miami has always kind of been like the getaway. When I was young, my family, I mean, we still have it, but we have a nice spot on the beach. And every year we just come down here, vacation, Easter, spring break. And yeah, I didn't really know what Miami offered though until I came back as an adult and got to explore it independently. Not just, oh, my parents made dinner reservations or
and
something.
Took you and somewhere.
Like, yeah, yeah. No. I've been to Bayside with my family. I thought that was the only mall in Miami. And I was like, wow. Yeah, exactly.
You thought it was a mall.
Exactly. But now, what is it? I go to everywhere from the Aventura Mall to Bayside to Riverside to Upside, Downside, everywhere. I love it. But no, Miami, it's very similar to New York, too, because you have such a melting pot of people. I know... The Hispanics may seem to dominate on the surface, but as you
there's
get into
everything.
It, there is everything here. I mean, so like one of my best friends is a Jamaican man down here, and like, yeah, we over Miami Gardens having a great time. So
nice.
Shout out Ben.
So, what? Tell me about your art career, because I know that you know this. You have
or
to
let's
have a
start
certain
with
sense
what
of
came
patience
first.
And creativity.
Because you're a different type of artist, so what came first?
So the arts have like slowly bled into my life because I was raised as an athlete. Everything I did was football, baseball, wrestling, basketball, and art was never really a reality.
Yankees or a Mets fan?
Yankees, the day I die. yeah, Yankees, Knicks, Giants, let it be known, let it be understood. But yeah, as I grew up, I would always kind of do artistic, creative things, but only because I thought they were fun. Like I would make like a YouTube video or something and I would do like a sketch where I would just come up with some character. And this is like, again, in high school, I'm not doing theater. I'm not auditioning for anything, but I'm just like, oh, this would be a funny video to make. And I just started doing stuff like that. And then I went to business school. I went to college for whatever, taking economics classes. And I had a buddy that was taking acting. And I was like, I didn't know you could do this as like a major. I didn't know you could, yeah. So I took a few acting classes in the spring, loved it, but failed everything else. I had at the end of the year, like, yeah. I had a 1.3 GPA for the year. So they like suspended me for academic probation. But at that point, I was like, I just want to do acting now.
Most of us artists start like that, right?
Right.
It's like, it was so hard to justify, too. Like, I don't.
It's really not that we care. Can't do it, because we no. can do it. It's just like, do we really want to do it?
I was going to say, like, when I was young and they did, like, a lot of standardized testing, I would always come out, like, no exaggeration, like, top 10, top 5% in the nation, like, for standardized testing. And as I got older, again, it just, it wasn't challenging. I lost interest. And whenever I had a test, always the first one done. Always, here, take it. All 4 years in high school, 85 average, because I just did the bare minimum. I know what I had to do. I would never study for nothing. But then when I saw acting and, like, film, I was like, wow, this is so subjective.
Yeah.
You could be the best actor in the world, but someone's still going to hate you.
Always.
You could be an Oscar-winning actor, and someone's going to say, that's an awful performance. I didn't buy. And it's like, that was the challenge I was interested in. I was like, holy shit, you can be so right. You can do all the work right and still fail flat on your face. And I embrace failure. I love failing forward in the biggest and best ways possible. But obviously, as I pursued acting and I failed and I learned and I grew into my own, the industry also had its own failures. So I graduated from film school in 2019. And a year of auditioning, booking a TurboTax commercial here, an Amazon show there. The COVID came down and shut everything down.
Yeah. No studios. So,
yeah, nothing. And I'm just like, and again, I was taking improv classes at this spot called The Groundlings. And that's like one of the most prestigious acting improv schools in the nation.
What's the name of it?
The Groundlings.
The Groundlings.
Yes. Okay. And like Will Ferrell went there, Conan O'Brien went there, Melissa McCarthy. Like, again, the alumni list is absurd. And COVID like ripped me out of like the intermediate improv program there. And that's when I started doing like this blunt art. Because I had all these rappers saved up. Nobody was doing anything. And I was just like, all right, I guess I might as well do something cool. And then I made a short film. So I did a GoFundMe, I wrote this script, and it was, again, a 25-minute short film, but I found a way to incorporate the art. And it was just, again, about this artist who's trying to survive in LA, couldn't make rent, his friends would shit on his lifestyle, his relationship, and all this, and he just kind of wanted to prove that he was somebody and it was all worth something. And the movie, again, it's called Day Trip. It's on YouTube if anybody wants to watch
it. Day Trip
by RJ. Okay. But it's like, how far are you willing to take something? How much are you willing to bet on yourself and believe in yourself to actually become successful in your own regards? Because everyone's definition of success is different.
Yeah.
But yeah, as, again, the world started to open back up, I was like, I have this movie that I finished. I have all these art pieces that I've made. Why don't I do like a 2-for-1 gala? Because I wanted it to be like a black tie event. I felt like everyone looked at as weed smokers as sweatpants, dirty, lazy, whatever. And I was like, no. We're dressing to the nines. And you know what? It's going to be a 420 event. And like that's what we did. And I'd done that every year for about 4 years. And I started like adding charity elements to it because, again, art is, it's a beautiful thing. It's very therapeutic. But I was like, what was the point? Like, you could hang something cool on the walls and anybody could make this. But I wanted it to be attached to a bigger purpose.
Rightfully so.
So that's when I started getting in contact with all these charities like Last Prisoner Project, 40 Tons, Freedom Grow, and helping everyone that's still in jail for cannabis, because people are making this into a billion-dollar industry out here while we still have tens of thousands of people serving time for non-violent cannabis. Like, it's insane.
For a little bag of weed.
Literally. Possession. Wrong state, wrong place, wrong time, wrong skin color, and you're looking at 20 years in jail. It makes no sense. So, again, working with like groups like Last Prisoner Project, it really helped me just get involved with the weed community. Because again, coming from film and acting and then going into art, I still didn't understand what the weed industry was. Because I grew up smoking with friends, but there was no industry.
It was just the weed man.
We didn't have an industry. We're smoking white owl behind the movie theater. But yeah. Now it's like, oh, what's your brand? You don't have a toy with your eighth? Are you crazy? Like, and that was all new to me. So the weed community was very accepting. I do know that there is a lot of people that may have their own agenda in the weed industry.
That's with everything.
And that's why when it's like for money, when it becomes like a capitalistic venture, that's when morals start to become skewed a bit. So with the art and the weed, I feel so passionately about it. It becomes really overwhelming at times, at least like emotionally, when I see somebody like not doing what I think is like the right thing. Because if you charge me $70 for an eighth, I'm going to take it as disrespect. There's no other way to put it. You can tell me it's small batch. It's the only thing grown in this state. And there's no, like, I don't
care. It's special.
It's special. Like, yeah, because me personally, I feel like I've tried the best of the best weed. I've gone to growers. I've gone to dispensaries. What is your best stuff? What is your most expensive stuff? What is this? And again, I know the science behind it. I know a lot of the terpene profiles. I know the entourage effect. I know what I'm looking for just in regards to a different strain. Like, I love my OGs. I hate my candies. Like, I know me. So the most I've justifiably paid for an eighth was $50. My favorite eighth that I ever smoked, I paid $50 for, and that is where my bar is right now.
Do you remember what strain it was?
Absolutely. It was Blue Gelinade by Fidel's. Shout out, Fidel's. But yeah, I actually got down here in Miami. It was at like an Art Basel event about 2 years ago. And he had the Gelinades and he had the Gatorade logo on it. And it tasted just like blue Gatorade. And I went back and bought like an ounce.
Damn.
I love Gatorade too. So it was, again, you know what you like and it should work to your palate. So if someone's like, oh, this is the best, I'm charging $70 an eighth, that may be the best to you. Like, again, I love Gatorade. If you hate Gatorade, I would not recommend the Blue Gelinade to you. And that, again, it's not that it's a bad strain. Yeah. So I don't think a lot of people in the industry get that. It's like they work in sales and they just.
Yeah,
like,
without even thinking about the customer.
Yeah. How can I market this? How can I do this? And I'm like, this is a quality product driven market. And consistency is the name of the game. It is so hard to put out batch after batch after batch that is consistently the same. You will win a competition with one batch, and the next batch that everybody wants to get isn't as good as the competition winner. And there's nothing wrong with that. You didn't do anything different. It's just like people, plants are different.
Things change.
Yeah,
too,
that one was on the edge of the grow. This one was in the middle. That one got more light. This one got more air. And it's like, they just grew differently. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but when people stop seeing the plant as medicine and they start seeing it as a product, I think that's when that's when they just start to go off the beaten path kind of thing. If you just keep it in mind. Yeah, just keep it in mind that it's medicine. It's supposed to be for people.
To help people.
Yeah, the world provides it. God provides it. The universe provides it. Like,
it's like water.
Exactly. And they want to bottle water. If they could bottle air, they would sell us air.
Of course.
Exactly.
That'd be genius.
Write it down.
That'd be genius. So.
So let's talk about the art and the collabs that you currently have, because we've been going back to them.
So as far as the art goes, again, I wanted to make it more than just something cool. And there's so many amazing artists, and I think everyone's an artist. Like, whether they realize
they
it, or
it or
not. Like, I think you guys are both artists. And
okay, I'll take that.
Exactly. And, like, the thing is, someone that works in a cubicle and they make dashboards for whatever, that's still
an art.
Dashboard
artist.
Like, yeah, exactly, because you're creating something. You need to, like, think about it. How am I going to communicate this to other people? And you get better at it. This didn't work. Let me try in this way. And like, no matter what it is, there's an art to the sale. There's an art to conversation.
To
football,
everything.
So the more people think of like life like that and how we're all similar in artistry and creativity, I think that this divide that's going on will stop. And I don't know what's causing the divide, whether it's Social media, AI, or fake news, what, even the lock, like if it started back, I don't care. But I just think art is the solution. So for me, how could I show other artists to other people? Because not everyone relates to my art. They see blunt wrappers and they're like, oh, that's cool, but I would never
put blunt wraps
in my house. But again,
I will.
That's a good one. So
shout out Dutch Masters, by the way.
Of course, shout out. Dutch Masters is my favorite rap, and I will put that on record, on every record, that they are my favorite rap. But yeah, and like, again, I would go to a lot of art events to try and get my art out there, and I never had the warm reception from the art community that I did with the weed community. And I met like some great artists along the way that I felt like they were in the same boat as me. They weren't getting like a fair shake. Galleries really overlooked them, and I'm like, this is a passionate person. This is not, God forbid, this isn't an Alec Monopoly. This isn't someone that's just getting paid to do a copy of someone else's Mr. Monopoly Man or Scrooge McDuck. No, this is somebody that's, again, experienced something. They're putting their vulnerability, their feelings into their work, and they're sharing it with the world. Those are people I wanted to begin to highlight. So I actually started up an art house.
Yeah.
I started up, it's called Von Art House. And again, it's just helps me write off my blunt wrappers as like a tax write-off. It's just, it's little things like that, but I'm building it into a platform that can highlight other artists. Like,
why the Von Dutch?
So
before we
why the Von Dutch?
So again, I love Dutch Masters. They've always been my favorite, but I looked up, like, again, the word Von means best. V-O-N. It's the best. So I always wanted to just aspire to be the best. Maybe I will never be the best, but that's where the bar is. I strive for perfection, knowing I will never obtain it. But again, if you set realistic goals all the time, I feel like you're kind of just living in the safe zone. Like, you're not pushing yourself to see, wow, how far can I really take this? And that's why it goes back to me embracing failure. Like, I want to go big so I can know how far I can go. And then maybe I can go farther, but just plan it a little bit differently the next time around and stuff. And like, why didn't this venture work? So like, even right now, I'm taking a big, I guess, leap of faith, you could say, with these collaborations. Because every week for this whole year, 2026, from January 1st, every week I've been highlighting a different artist. So like this current week, I don't know when this is going to air, but as of right now, Ghost Inhale is our collaboration of the week. So I would make their logo out of blunt wrappers, and then I put it on different types of merchandise, shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, to highlight what's going on, and they're only available for a week. So I know it's really hard for someone to, one, see it, because the algorithm is never my friend. I'm competing with advertisement space against everybody from Gucci to Supreme, and again, the Alec Monopolies and Cause of the World, every artist. So we're all on Instagram, we're all on TikTok.
We're all
and
in this together, guys.
It's really tough to get stuff out there, and it breaks my heart when someone really likes a piece and they see it a week later after the collab has already ended and we're on to the next one. And then again, sometimes people, they're like, I don't get paid this week, I get paid next week, so I can't buy it this week. And it's...
So what are you going to do about that? Tell them.
I'm saying.
So that's the thing. This has all been a plan. It's been formulated. And it's like, I know it may suck right now. We may not sell as many as we want to right now. But the purpose is to raise awareness, raise hype, exclusivity, the people that do get it now. Make sure you follow so you don't miss the next one. But we will re-release the entire collection for the month of April.
Okay.
Celebrate 420. And again, I will have like artist bios on every artist that we're highlighting on the website, where you can find their art, where you can check out just them as an individual. And yeah, this is just something I thought could help these other artists get a little more notoriety and accessibility. But is it gonna work? I have no idea.
We'll see.
I have no idea. I've just like, again, I've been trusting the process that the past 3 months that I've been slow rolling each weekly collaboration out. everyone kind of takes notice a little bit here, a little bit there. And now when we re-release the whole series, you're like, wow, I like it's that one. Collection. And I'm sorry I missed that one. Like, yeah, now people feel more confident too because they trust me with the art. Like, this was a commission that I actually had come in yesterday and I finished it this morning. Okay. It took me one day. But people trust the art. If I'm like, this is $150, they're like, done. If I'm like, this is $500, they're like, done. Because they know.
Because they believe in the labor than the vision behind it.
With the clothing, it's still so new, they don't trust it yet.
They don't know the value of it.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, again, get them involved, show them, like, hey, this is good quality clothing. It's also, again, one of one. Unless you have the art piece, you can't duplicate the clothing.
Right.
You can't, like, yeah, you can't Photoshop this. You can't find this. Yeah, all original pieces. One of one.
These things look like they took some time to put together. I just inspected one.
What's the biggest piece you've done so far?
The biggest piece is 13 feet by 8 feet.
Damn, that's a lot of blunts.
Yeah. That was actually one of the first ones I ever did. And I had help from a friend in L.A. Because we would just... So during the lockdown, again, I had all of these wrappers. And it was not this well-defined. And like we were just taping them up on the wall and just figuring out what looked cool and take a bunch of mushrooms or something. And it's like, what do you see? What do I see? It's
like, look at that.
That's a monster. That's a dragon. Those are teeth. That's an eye. And it's just, it was so much fun. And I think that's how a lot of artistic ventures should start. If you're not having fun and you're like, oh, I'm going to do this because it pays well. Or... Yeah. Even the family business. I see a lot of like, I don't want to call them Nepo babies because everyone gets shit on, but I see a lot of people, their parents are in the industry and they feel like, oh, I'm just going to do this. Like, I'm just going to, like Will Smith's kids. Like, I don't know if they ever felt the opportunity to do like
to
a normal life. Like, I don't want to be a singer at 14 years old, but both of them were. Like, both, like, what else are you going to do? So... No, I feel like, again, a lot of my artistic ventures have come just out of passion. Like, I'm like, oh, I really want to do this. Like, I published a poetry book. Nice. And it's just because I love to write. I love making music. I love, again, just writing poems. And I had so many over like years and years and years of writing. For my 27th birthday, I released, it's called Who Said Peace Was So Great. And it's available like on Amazon, on BarnesandNoble.com, everything. It was just 27 poems for my 27th birthday, and they were all different. Like, some were happy, some rhymed, some were sad, and it's just one poem in the book will, like, vibe with you. You will not like all 27, but I tell everybody that there is
this
one
is a disclaimer.
Poem. Yeah, there is one poem in that book for you. I don't know which poem. I don't know where you are in life right now.
I don't know which one it is, but go get it.
But yeah, but there is one poem in that book for you. And the cool thing is, like, as life goes on, our perception, like, changes. So that poem that was good for you then, it may not be good next year, but a different poem might resonate a little bit stronger. And it's like, damn, I feel this one now. And it's just...
Not bad. Yeah. One way or another, you're going to find something that's going to resonate with you.
Absolutely.
That's dope.
Absolutely.
So you wrote a book.
I did.
How long ago?
That was 3 years ago. I'm 30 now. So that came out for my 27th birthday.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. There we go. We got his age.
Yeah. 30.
That's great, man. You've accomplished quite a few things.
It made sense to me. Like, in the time, because a lot of people that I went to school with, they either fell off from like film or they're not really in the creative field anymore or something like that. And I just always did what I wanted to do. I didn't go into acting because I was a high school theater kid or I did community theater. I was in college and I was like, oh, holy shit, I could do that for a degree? Like, that just makes sense to me. Like, fuck it. And then same thing with the blunt wrappers. I was actually also, when I went to film school, I had like three roommates and we would all just smoke blunts.
Yeah.
And I had a pile of like blunt wraps and it felt so weird throwing them out because as a college kid, you don't got a lot of money. And I'm like, damn, I'm throwing out like $15 here in like packaging, like blunt wrap packaging. And I'm like, nah, I'm gonna put these on the wall. I'm gonna figure something out.
Okay.
And it was whatever at the time, because that was 2016, I wanna say. But then I just saved the wrappers because I was like, oh, there's potential there. There's something there. And I saved them up for like 4 years up until lockdown. I was like, oh shit, I got like 2,000 wrappers. Let me get to work.
Tell us about the process.
Yeah, tell us about the process, because you look at these, and with the whites, you use the back, right?
Yeah, so that's like the warning labels. The warning labels. Yeah.
And everything, even this ghost, is a blunt wrap?
Yeah, so like you see like on these warning labels, how like the side is just clear white.
Oh, I cut out the sides. I see what you did there.
Yeah, because like when I first started, the process is very different from what it is now. Like I used to just like get a picture on my phone of Spider-Man or Alice in Wonderland, and I would just make it, like just by eye. Like I'm like, oh, the hair is this shape. I'd make the hair, and then I'd fill in the face, and then I'm like, the eyes go here, and I'm just building it all out. So like I've actually made this Yankees logo in like my old style. And it was so hard because, like, I couldn't do a perfect circle. I'm trying to do script letters and stuff by eye and, like, the stars. And I was like, this is a mess. But eventually, you know, I got it. I love it. It's still actually hung up in my house framed. It's huge. It's I want to say it's probably, like, 3 feet big, like, 3 feet by, like, 3 feet.
Okay.
That's dope.
But now I actually make, like, a stencil beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to trace it, if I have to draw it, if I have to do it in different pieces like a puzzle, I'll just, like all these letters, I'll just trace them out first on like see-through paper. And then I'll put the wrappers on the back, tape it to the stencil, cut it out, and then put all the pieces together.
Gotcha. Like work smarter, not harder.
Always. And like there's different styles. So like I would say these two are done in like different styles. That the black background here, I did first. Like, it's all one piece that I made, and then, like, I did the shape. But with this one, I did the lettering first, and then I filled in the white, like, afterwards. And then, like, yeah. So, again, it depends on how I want it to look, how it's supposed to look. A lot of cartoons are done like this, like Hello Kitty or SpongeBob, where there's like this outline that breaks up all the pieces of the picture.
Yeah.
But when I do portraits and stuff, it's a little different, where I try and do almost like layers. And I just kind of build it all out on top of the face, the eyes, the eyebrows, and...
So you have portraits done?
Let's talk about Chance.
Like, this is all blown.
Oh, so this is all you?
Yeah.
Yo.
Let's talk about that because this is a podcast.
So the jeans he's wearing... have these deep, I don't want to say, they have these portraits.
I don't know if you can see them.
Look, Jim Morrison,
Audrey Hepburn, Nipsey Hussle, and Paulie from The Sopranos. I call them my RIP pants. Everybody died on them, but RIP to the real ones.
Damn. Right. You want me to put your face on my pants? You know what happens.
No, I don't
want
to die.
You get added to the back.
That's crazy. But they're dope. So hold up. So rewind here. So you did your own pants?
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. That's what we were saying. That's what I'm talking about. That's dope.
That's why I'm like, everything is art. And it's just like, how do you see it? How can I contribute to life? And
again, so let's talk about collabs. Yeah. Chance the Rapper, we're talking about portraits and stuff like that. Are there any dream collabos? Somebody that you want to work with? Somebody that you want to make
something? Of course.
Something? Who's that?
It's Drizzy Drake.
Okay.
With Drake. What would you do?
I mean, I would love to do a portrait of Drake. I mean, I've thought of it a few times of doing either like the Scorpion album cover or the Nothing Was the Same album cover. But if I do them, I want to do them big. Like, I'm talking.
I thought you were
like
gonna say Bad Bunny.
I mean, I've done Bad Bunny so many times, and like, I would love to like hang out with Bad Bunny. Like, Bad Bunny is like on my friends list. Like, I just want to go to the beach. I want to smoke with him. I want to fucking drink beers. And like, yeah, I think me, Bad Bunny, and Justin Bieber would like tear the night up. But with Drake.
Justin Bieber, watch out, homie.
Dude, Justin Bieber is a crazy motherfucker. Like, people don't know, but I've watched, like, I basically grew up with Bieber.
They don't know about JB.
Yeah, like, I grew up with Bieber, like, watching the press drag him through the mud. And I'm just like, dude, this kid is like fucking me. Like, if I was in Justin Bieber's position, I feel like the media would have a field day ripping me apart. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he's doing his absolute best. And at this point in his life, he seems like he's just enjoying it. Like, he's putting out his music when he wants to. It's not like a label is forcing him. Yeah. He seems to be in a pretty good relationship. I don't know about relationships and celebrity lifestyles like that. But again, he has the wife.
I'm Team Haley.
he's doing, like, again, like, everything that you would probably want to do if you could do it. Like,
yeah, I guess.
If I could get rich and make my own album and produce my own music and... Yeah, it's just... It seems like a good life, but...
Do you play instruments?
Drums.
Nice.
Drums and... Yeah, I wish I played more piano. I tried to teach myself that and the guitar, but... At one point, you just need a teacher. Like,
it's a difficult instrument.
You learn the chords and you're like, okay, I got these chords down. But then when you actually want to, like, play a song or something, you're like, this don't sound right. I need someone to tell me what I'm doing wrong. Someone that knows what is actually doing. Like,
not YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube, and there's even apps that they're like, oh, you could learn the piano with this app and stuff. And, like, you can only get so far. You can really only get so far.
I feel you on that. I mean... So let's rewind real quick. You said, let's go back to your film.
Yes.
You went to film school. Do you have any projects out aside from, what was it?
The commercial.
Day Trip.
Yes.
Did you follow up after Day Trip with any other projects?
So I really just took that, like, experience, and I would just make a lot of stuff to, like, market myself. So I would make commercials or advertisements for my art or my events. But to put together a whole, like, production like that, it's a lot, man. Like, it was so much. Because, again, like, I did everything from, like, producing, directing, acting, writing, editing, like, and it was, again, something that I felt I had to do.
Passion project.
Yeah. And it teaches you a lot. Because when you first get started and you're not booking a lot of stuff, they always say, make your own work, do your own stuff. And like, that's how you'll get seen in the beginning, because you need to put together, like, a reel, almost like a resume. Like, so when you don't have any work done yet, you make your own. That's exactly what I did. And when COVID, again, came around, I was living in LA at the time. Once I finished all the filming, New Year's 2021 is when I actually moved back east.
Okay.
I moved back with my parents for, like, 2 years, actually, in Jersey. And that's where I edited the film. And I kind of put all the finishing touches there, waiting to see if the world was going to open back up or what was going to go on. I was paying, like, $1,500 a month in LA for rent for, again, an industry that was closed down. I was actually working at an after-school like, program called the ARC, where I would teach kids, like, acting and improv. That was shut down. Damn. So, like, again, I was out there living off stimulus checks. Like,
that's pretty much everyone was at.
Yeah, so again, 2021, I made a decision to, like, come back with my parents and stuff and just reevaluate kind of, like, what's going on with the art, what's going on with the acting, what's going on with the world. And once 2022 came around, I threw my 420 event, and I was like, damn, there's definitely potential here. So I threw another event the following year, and the first one I did was in New York. It was in the middle of Chelsea, Manhattan, huge gallery. The second one I brought to New Jersey. It was more local, more underground, more dressed down. Third one, back to New York. Black tie event. That was probably the biggest one we've ever done. And then last year, moved down to Miami. Yeah, and then we did one down here.
I was at that one.
And we raised money for a beach cleanup project with Clean Miami Beach.
Nice.
And I had a bunch of local artists involved that they donated their art for, like, an auction. And we auctioned off all the work in, like, a silent auction. And
we had models.
We did a fashion show.
Matter of fact, Lola.
Oh, she's
Lola
one, that's a
was
model.
One of the models at your show. I call her Lola, but that's not her name. What's her name?
What's her?
I always forget her name because I always call her Lola. Alice, Lola, you know Alice. I love you. Alice.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wish I was, like, more involved with the fashion show. But, like, I had so many things going on. I actually had to defer to
a whole bunch of stuff.
This girlfriend, Siska. I'm not sure if you guys have met her or know about her, but she is an amazing like clothing designer. Okay. And yeah, so shout out to Siska.
So are you gonna do another event in Miami?
Eventually, yes. This year is the first year I'm actually not doing my 420 gala.
No.
I'm going to Spanibus in Spain.
Whoa.
So yeah, so that's gonna be a big hash festival.
Spanibus.
Yeah. And apparently it's like,
are you gonna do art there or are you gonna try to?
Okay. I'm gonna bring some art and like I'll do my little networking and whatnot, but it's the first time they're not doing it in Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
It's always in Barcelona the past 20 years, and this year they're moving it to Bilbao in the north of Spain, and I'm just like, what is this going to be? How is it going to be?
It's going to be fun, bro.
Yeah.
It's going to be an adventure.
And I'm coming from France before that. So I'll do like a week and a half in France, mm-hmm. snowboarding, and then take the train over to Bilbao and enjoy that. So I want to do it like a Euro vlog where I kind of show like the road to Spanibus and all like the fun excursions along the way. Like
that is dope. I think you should do it.
Yeah. But that's kind of where the majority of like my filmmaking has gone from like mm-hmm. steady short filmed projects mm-hmm. to like what the current like vibe is, because I think like content has taken on a whole new meaning in the past decade.
Like, it really has. It keeps evolving, but it's I think it evolves mainly because we realize how the human attention span works.
Yeah.
We're like, well, it'll gravitate more towards doom scrolling.
Definitely.
And how many times do you catch yourself doom scrolling?
All the time.
You gotta stop yourself.
and a lot of it too is like, it's by design. These people know like, I need to sell something. I need to capture the attention of the audience and the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
And just over years of marketing tricks, if I put it in this color, sex sells, or I do this, is that they've just learned that, if I do this, I almost hijack the brain.
Yeah,
and now
they
don't even know what they're consuming. They're just like, I'm invested, I'm involved. And it's all a trick for a fucking deodorant stick.
Yeah.
Like
it doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all.
No. Yeah, and that's why like as an independent artist, a lot of times like you need to market your stuff, you need to advertise and come up with these things, but I don't want to trick anybody. I can't tell anybody I am the only person that can make this. This is a one of one, and don't like, no, anybody could do this. Anybody can cut up blunt wrappers and tape them together. I promise you.
I wouldn't be able to do that.
You can't, I promise
you. It's not going to come out the same.
It may take practice, but just like everything in life, it takes practice and you can do it. So that's why it's like, for me to sell stuff, honestly, that's the trick.
So let's go back to that. Let's be blunt, right?
Let's be blunt. Let's call it what it is.
What is this all about, your merchandise and your art?
So the blunt, obviously I make everything out of blunt wrappers, mm-hmm. but I have such like a background of like classical art that I'm not the biggest fan of abstract art. And mm-hmm. a lot of the people I work with are abstract artists, and they've made me form an appreciation for it. Because like I said,
it's an acquired taste.
Yeah, but everything is art. So it's like, if you love to splatter paint on a canvas all willy fucking nilly and say, this is my art, I bet if you do that 5 times, you're going to develop a technique of throwing paint. It's just like, this one is too messy.
Yeah.
This one doesn't come out the way I like it. This one, it clumps up too much in one area.
Mm-hmm. Art and is whatever like, the artist says
exactly,
it is, right?
And like whatever you practice and you work at, that is your art. So with
we're all artists out here.
Exactly, and that's called the artistic revolution. And the artistic revolution will help society as a whole. But the blunt aspect of it all is like, this art, it is what it is. This is supposed to be the Yankee logo. You're not going to see a deconstructed Yankee logo with the Y here and the A there and the bat across the middle. And it's like, that's my, no. It's blunt. It is what it's supposed to be. Where does, again, my style come
from? Pun intended.
Yeah, the fact that it's made out of blunt wrappers. That's, again, my spin on it, my touch on it. But I feel like everyone has their own lane. If you like to, again, drink a lot of Gatorade, I'm sure you have tons of Gatorade bottles go build a fucking robot. Go do something with that. Like, it's here, and it's just, if it makes sense to you, it will eventually make sense to everybody else.
Go build a fucking robot.
Go build a fucking robot. Yeah. A floating device. Yeah, but no, but the blunt, again, it's like, I call this blunt art. Okay. Like, people are like, how do you, like, is it a collage? Is it a painting? No, no, no. I've invented this style of blunt art. And again, blunt art is what it is. It does not need to be studied and like, what do you see? Do we see this? No, 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 no. It's very blunt. It is blunt, and it's made of blunts. And
we don't encourage smoking, but if you do smoke, save your wrappers. Yeah. And again, you can send them over to us, and we'll make sure that RJ gets them, so they go for a good cause. You're recycling as well. I do that all the time, actually, because I get wraps, and I send them over to him, and he creates beautiful art with it. So.
Yeah, it's funny. I have like a few people like you that they save them. And I've noticed that different people smoke different things. Different so I'm things. Like, oh, they got all my Blue Dutches. And they got all my Purple Backwoods. And they got all my Red Swishers. And it's like, what am I going to smoke?
I'll smoke. What's your favorite?
It's either the Dutch Palmas, the regular Blue Dutches Palmas, or the Dutch Berry Fusion.
Okay.
The Berry Fusions are usually like the freshest and like...
easiest to roll.
Yeah. But...
once again, we do not encourage...
In no way, shape, or form are we encouraging or promoting.
No.
It's all about preferences, but this is an adult show.
Yeah.
Just in case.
This is an adult show.
Because, I mean, I have my theories on, like, where cannabis consumption is going to go in the next few years.
Ooh, do tell.
Because if you ask me, the healthiest way, obviously smoking is not healthy. We can all agree, no matter what you're smoking.
Edibles.
It's not healthy. Drinks. Drinking, and I am not happy of the type of people and, again, liquor brands or whoever that is investing in cannabis drinks and THC drinks and stuff, because they're just trying to control the market and do whatever they want to do. But I do think at the end of the day, drinking it will be the healthiest. As of right now, it's not there yet because the extraction methods aren't there. They're only extracting, like, THC and CBD, and they're leaving out a lot of the other like cannabinoids that you need for the full like medical benefit. So yeah, they're gonna get there eventually. What I'm scared of, though, and this is my theory, so 5 to 10 years, you come back and you tell me if I'm right or wrong on this. I think with the rescheduling now, they just went through Schedule 3, that's going to give the big pharmaceutical companies a lot more leverage and a lot more flexibility. So they're going to do research, they're going to put out studies, and I believe their studies in about 5 to 10 years are going to say cannabis weed is only safe if consumed in a pill, and that's so they can sell it to you and you cannot grow it yourself, and they will control the market. So once you see a study say cannabis is only safe in a pill, you come back to me and you say, RJ, they're coming for us all right now.
You heard it here first.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, they're coming.
They if they're not coming yet, they will be. I can promise you that. Because there's too much money.
I mean, there's so much money in just being the blunt wrapper.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. You have the company that provides the actual packaging.
Yep.
The person that did the design.
Thank you, Dutch Masters.
But yeah, that's like... It's a huge industry, no matter which way you want to go about it. You know what I mean?
I got a buddy that I used to work at the Jungle Boys for a little bit, and he went in there as like a customer. And
here in Miami?
Yeah. Miami Beach Jungle Boys. And he had Grabba Leaf bag. It's Butter's Grabba Leaf. And I was like, oh, that's a cool bag. Mm-hmm. I used their products to make art. And he was like, oh, really? I own the company. And I was shit. And he was like, can I see some of your work? And I was like, yeah. And then I showed him, and he was like, I would love to like commission a piece from you and stuff.
Nice.
So yeah, again, when they see it, they're like blown away by it. But it's getting it in front of them. You're fighting the algorithm. You're fighting for attention spans with every company under the sun. But when I get somebody in person and they see this art, if they are in any form of the weed space, they're like, I need one. Like, I need it.
And it's only right if you're gonna go the extra mile to get it in their face like that.
Oh yeah, because again, I've gone from everybody from Chance the Rapper, Action Bronson, Erykah Badu, 070 Shake, Kid Cudi. Like, I find these people and I give them the art. I'm just like, here, I made this for you. Like,
nice.
Because again, I don't expect anything right there and then, right in the moment. But I know my journey, and I know I'm not going to stop anytime soon, and our paths will cross again, and I want to be in a position where I'm like, oh, Action Bronson, long time no see.
Mr. Von Dutchmaster.
Yeah. Do you remember the piece I gave you? And I hope he says, yes, of course I remember the piece you gave me. And then, again, it's just...
It's important to set yourself up for that. Tell me about what we can expect from RJ in the near future. What you got planned?
So in the near future, you're gonna see, honestly, a lot more clothing and a lot less art.
Okay.
Because the art has been in higher demand. So I'm just getting a lot of commissions now. And that's what's keeping me busy. But obviously I'm not able to create like
my own
original work to kind of just put out there and share and sell and stuff. So that's why the clothing kind of allows me to do that, where it's like I can make one piece like this and then I'll have the t-shirts up for a month or something.
Right?
And it's like, okay, the t-shirts are selling. I'm working on some commissions right now.
But why a month though?
Why what?
Why a month?
Why a month? Oh, that was just kind of like a nice timetable. So again, people have time to buy it, see it, get money together.
But also keep the exclusivity of it.
Yeah, because I also, again, I don't want to just have people get bored with it. Like,
got it.
Something new, and the world is always changing. Like, my mom, she always wants something. And she's like, RJ, I will pay you.
Shout out, mom.
Always shout out, my biggest supporter. But she's like, I'll pay you for it. I'll be like a real customer. Just please, please make me this. And she's asked for everything from like our pets, like both of our dogs and stuff.
Nice.
To, again, I just made her, I finally caved and I was like, here, I made Punch the monkey. The monkey with his little doll and stuff.
I love Punch.
And like, yeah, I made it for her and she was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And I'm like, so what, you gonna give me like $100 for that? She's like, yeah, I'll give it to you later. Like part of your birthday gift. It's gonna be part of that. Don't worry. I'm like, I knew you. But
it's mom though, yeah.
Of course. Come on, man.
And again, if you don't know your mom, if you don't know what to expect, then like,
yeah,
that's
you ain't
on
paying
you.
Attention.
That's on fucking you.
That is classic. So you wouldn't do another Punch Monkey, would you?
No, probably not. I really don't like to do duplicates. Again, I think it probably doesn't take that much value away because there's still under fucking 5 in the world of this thing. But I do think people feel special when they have like the only one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I have gotten some people that are like, oh, I want Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'll make them Stitch. And then someone else is like, I want Stitch. I'll do a different Stitch. I'll do Stitch dressed as
Elvis.
Look
what happened with the Funko Pops.
Yeah, oversaturation.
Yeah, it's too much.
And that's why, like, again, if I do duplicates, then I'm like, okay, this one is going to be a duplicate thing. So, example, the Bad Bunny heart. Mm-hmm. His logo from his album, Un Verano Sin Ti. That is one that I'm able to do very easily. It's just, it's a heart, it's an eye, it's some arms, some legs. I do it at live events. I do it in different colors. Mm-hmm. So that one, I've accepted that, okay, if you have the Bad Bunny heart, that's part of the Bad Bunny heart collection.
Yeah.
That's one of the only ones that there's multiple of. And I think in its own aspect, that gives it its own value, where it's like, oh shit, I want all the Bad Bunny hearts. I want, even if there's like 50, 100, whatever, like,
I'm gonna get them all.
I want to get all the Bad Bunny hearts, because again, that's one of the only duplicates I've ever done.
Yeah.
And yeah, the other one, I think I've gotten like some Pokemon, like Gengar. People always want Gengar. So I think I've only made like 3 of them, but I've made 3 of them. And that's like too much to me. That's like too many.
It's like, I'm going to stop doing Gengar completely.
Yeah, again, if you have a Gengar, like, congratulations. Count your days.
Count your days, homie. I'm going to show up at your house. Let me get that Gengar back.
Straight up.
But, RJ, so I don't know if you have any advice that you would give to any up-and-coming artist, somebody who has any goals about raising awareness or doing, you know, charitable events and stuff like that. Even if you're not from a specific city, you know, you've demonstrated that you can still put your hand in the community, help out, do art. So what would your advice to somebody out there that wants to get it going
be? I think my advice to any artist or anybody that wants to get going in whatever you want to do, it's to forget everything that anyone has ever told you. If someone has said, nobody is coming to save you, you have to do it yourself, someone's coming to save you. I promise you. Like, yeah, don't think, again, like, you may feel like, I have to do this all myself, there's only one way to do this. Like, no. Even what I'm saying right now. Like,
don't listen to me.
Yeah, don't listen to me, don't listen to them, listen to yourself. You know yourself better than anybody else. Uh-huh. And again, trust yourself. If you believe you could do it, do it. I really could care less what your situation is. If you're like, I can't quit my job, I have to do this, like, okay, maybe in this exact moment, this second, you cannot quit your job, but start the plan. Start to figure out how in 6 months I can quit this job. And when 6 months comes, you quit. Whether you're not ready to or whatever, but you thought about it long enough, you came up with a plan.
Make it happen.
You have begun the steps of that plan. You may never be at a place where you're like, okay, I can safely transition from my 9 to 5 to my passion art. You will never be there. Or maybe you will. Again, I don't fucking know. But just do it.
Just do
Life is way too short. Because honestly, I just turned 30 and I feel like I did so much in my 20s. Like you were saying, like, I've done from the book to the movie to the art to whatever. I still feel like there was more I could have done. There was a lot of stuff that I didn't have to do, but I either felt like I had to do it or it was a good idea in the time, and then it taught me a lesson where it's like, oh shit, you don't need this to get that. Yeah. And I think the best example right now of what people don't know what to do with this thing is live streaming. Because again, I recently started up my own live stream over on Kick, over on Twitch, and you see a lot of the streamers approach it the same, where it's like, I'm going to react to me playing video games and I'm going to be over the top animated and all this stuff. But I can honestly say, like, my generation, we don't watch live streams because we don't relate to stuff like that. I don't really care about some 20-year-old kid narrating him playing video games. But to the younger generation, they eat that shit up. Kudos to those people that figured out that solution, but I don't think that is the only way you need to live stream. Yeah. I see live stream, another crazy theory down the line, 5-10 years down the line, I see live stream being like television, where it's like we have different channels that we can just flip through, these different streamers that are doing completely different things. And I would love to, again, have my channel where it's running 24/7. But it's not me on there 24/7. I have different time slots that I basically book out to different creators, different shows. Oh, you want to do like a public access hour and stuff? Mm-hmm. Boom, you got the 7 to 8 o'clock slot. You're a video game streamer and that's what you do? Boom, put you on at fucking 9 o'clock. And it's just like, we're renting that out. We're monetizing off the actual Kick account and the subscribers that it gets. And yeah, we stay relevant for everything else that we do.
So dope.
Thanks.
Are there any shout outs that you want to give before we go?
Oh my God, there's so many. I'm gonna shout out my girlfriend Daisy. She's probably, again, one of the best artists I know, and she loves what she does. We met in film school, and I think she's an amazing
actress. Is she like, an actress too?
She's an actress, but she went to school for musical theater.
Okay.
So she sings, she dances, she has a song out, Sana Sana.
Awesome.
Go stream that everywhere.
Okay.
But yeah, I feel like having an artistic partner, just to bounce ideas off of. Like, they don't need to motivate you. They don't need to like be that driving force and stuff. But it's just having someone that you can be creative with or just explain your creative ideas to.
And that understands, right?
Yeah. And again, sometimes you make them understand. It's like, they're like, that sounds not possible, or I don't understand. And I'm just like, okay, I'm glad you don't understand, because if I tried to pitch this to a money person like that, they probably wouldn't understand. So let me try and refine this a little bit more. And again, having a partner like her is the biggest blessing I could ask for.
Oh, shout That's out to awesome. Her.
Shout out to
so
her.
So what's the name of her song? Give it a plug here.
So her song is Sana Sana.
And what's her artist?
Her name is Daisy Fernandez.
And where can we find her?
Everywhere from Apple Music, Spotify. But do you know, when you're a kid and you get hurt, they say sana, sana, sana. That's what the whole song is about. It's literally about like taking those nursery rhymes as like a kid and putting them into this song and stuff.
Nice.
And it has like, again, a reggaeton beat to it. And it's just, it's like sexy school kind of like sana sana corita de rana. Like, yeah.
And where can we find you, your art, your merch, your events? Everything. Where can we find you?
It's fun. Okay, so I'm actually getting off social media, or I'm trying to. I've like,
no, you're not.
I've deleted my Twitter, I've deleted my Threads. All I have left is my Instagram and my TikTok right
May
now.
May we ask why?
I think it's so toxic.
Okay.
I think the world is again, they're getting trolled, and they want to be trolls.
Mm-hmm.
So they eat up a lot of propaganda, and then they regurgitate it, but in like such an extreme way that I can't tell if you're joking or if you just really want to be right about something or what. But I care a lot about people, and that's one of the main reasons I got into art. I wanted to be in a position that I can help people, and I have the platform to speak on things, and I have the money to actually invest in change. And seeing just the state of the world right now, it gets me riled up. I don't want to start my day like that a lot of times. Again, I've left group chats recently, like with friends that I've known for over 10 years. And when I just hear some stuff that people say, I'm like, I just love you. I wish you the best, man. But like, I'm trying to work on myself, and I've accepted that coming from that New York area, I can be pretty aggressive sometimes, and I can be not what everybody's used to. And I want to become more positive. I don't want to always come off as this aggressive, devil's advocate of a person. Like, if I can be a bit more calmer and kinder, I would like to do that. And I think, again, removing a lot of negative people and just like trolls, just that's a good place to start. So that's,
don't make him angry.
Nah, dude. Because again, I really don't like, I don't care at the end of the day. Like, if you get me mad, I will come at you, and I will probably say some stuff that is gonna hurt. And I'm not going to really feel bad about it, because I know a lot of the stuff I say is grounded in truth and reality. But again, I'll just say the stuff that you don't want to hear. I'll say the stuff that your parents probably look at you as a certain kind of person, and you can't sleep well at night because of that. And you look at yourself in the mirror and you don't like what you see. And me saying stuff like that to people, it gets, again, a little personal sometimes, and they don't really like that. So I'm trying to, again, get away from that kind of lifestyle.
So they can't find you. Don't look him up.
No.
He'll be at a pop-up event near you sometime.
If you need anything from me, you go to vonarthouse.org. That is where you can find everything. Vonarthouse.org. I fucked up the .com. I'm pretty sure I still own the domain name, but
.org sounds more legit.
I know. I paid a whole bunch of people to do something that I didn't know what they were doing, and then it's just it's just out there in the world somewhere. But vonarthouse.org, and then again, my Instagram is RJ Knows Best
for now.
Yeah, if you do want to follow me on there, it's a lot more calmer than a Twitter type of environment where it's just words and it's just people talking and stuff. Like, because again, I'm politically aware of what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like I'd be doing myself and everyone a disservice if I didn't just take a second here to talk about what the fuck is going on in this world. Because as an American grown, born citizen, I want what's best for America. I want what's best for the citizens here. And I don't see that happening. And I think you need to actively critique your government and your officials to try and hold them accountable. And I don't think a lot of people are willing to do that. And they haven't been doing that. And they kind of blindly follow whoever their political affiliate is. And I think that nobody is perfect. Everybody needs to be held accountable. And when you start letting people slide just for whatever reason, that's when corruption happens. That's when the divide starts to get deeper, because now you're digging your heels into one side and other people are trying to assess the situation as a whole. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, maybe this guy's name is in these files thousands of times for some reason. I don't fucking know. But explore it. Don't just dismiss these things. Allow yourself to detach from one side of the story, because our algorithms are also fucking with us. They know what side you're on. They know if you're right, left, middle, not affiliated at all, and they will put everything in front of you.
You're listening to 305 Radio, but they're listening to us.
They're listening to, the real talk. Because
yeah.
I'm telling you, like, I think social media is one of the most toxic things possible. And it's like, a lot of friends I know that they go through anxiety attacks, stress and stuff, everyone wants to chalk it up to weed, or they want to chalk it up to whatever. I'm like, it's social media. I'm like, our phones have done irreparable damage to like our brains and our psyche. And that's another reason I'm
and
trying to
eyes,
get off. Like,
and
yeah.
our hands and our everything.
Oh, the arthritis is already setting in.
Oh, I know people who have like dents in their fingers from the position that they hold their phones like yikes. In their hands.
I could see again in like 50, 100 years, like our bodies start to like evolve.
Yeah.
Like with the phone.
We
like,
have a phone pocket
like,
in
yeah,
our
hands. It's going to be not ideal in my thing. But I think AI is the new worry thing. Everyone's so scared about AI now.
Yeah, is that...
Who knows? Okay, who knows?
Terminator came out, and then everyone's freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, you could think of it on, like, so many levels. Like, the robots, are they going to put the AI in the robots, and will the robots become self-aware? Or even, like, the environmental aspects. People are like, there's a water crisis because of AI and stuff. Like,
pretty
the
much.
Data centers use so much. And now I know that the AI, the big ones at least, the big companies... They got green lights to build their own private electrical grids.
Yeah.
So they can fund, like, again, their own electric, but that's going to pull from the current grid.
Of course.
And the way that people's water pressure is very low and they don't have running water in their sinks and shit in areas near those data centers, it's going to be pretty similar with the electrical grid and rolling blackouts and stuff like that. So America has always been for sale. But I just think finally the highest bidder came in and bought it out.
AI.
Facts. AI and crypto.
Y'all better start prepping.
Uh-oh.
If Doomsday. You haven't already.
Doomsday prep.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm in the process of getting my Spain citizenship already. So, like, me and my whole family, we would like to eventually make the move over there. But everywhere's got their problems.
Starting with what's that event you're going to next?
Spanibus. That's why I'm job hunting over there. I'm like,
bro, that just sounds like the rapper Cannabis in Spanish.
Spanibus.
Oh man, so are you checking social media or anything?
Yeah,
because
no,
I mean, what if people are checking for you, bro?
I am chronically online. Like, I cannot. Again, I have a problem, and that's why I need to get off, because I am aware of my problem. Like, I have a thing on my phone where if I'm on like social media specifically, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, but if I'm on it for more than 4 hours, it comes up and it like locks my social medias, and it's like, do you want to still participate or do you want to respect the lock? And I skip that shit. Like, I'm telling you, like noon comes around and that thing comes up.
It's like the snooze like button. You just gotta keep like extending it.
Extend.
Like
extend,
4 hours
extend.
Of screen time on social media by noon is a problem.
Yeah,
to
that's
me.
A problem.
And
yeah.
But that's the thing. If I'm not posting on social media, no one's seeing the art. No one's seeing the collabs. No one's seeing this and that. So it's part of the job. And
well, it depends how you're utilizing it.
Exactly. And. I'm weak. Well. I'm weak.
Well, my man, just one more time. Where can we find you?
VonArtHouse.org or RJ Knows Best. And I actually think my TikTok is my full name. I think my TikTok is RJ Izquierdo. So
okay. So RJ Knows Best?
RJ Knows that. That's been my everything. Like,
okay.
I started that, I want to say, like, high school or college, and I made that, like, my everything name.
There you go. That's going to be your YouTube channel?
I think that is my YouTube channel.
Where you tell them, where you, every episode is, well, I'm going to tell you something I know best about.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Again, the trolls, they love that name, too.
Of course.
Like, if I post something, like, RJ doesn't know best.
But, I mean, like... Any PR is good PR.
Of course, of course.
RJ does not know.
You do not know anything.
And I tell people that too. It's like, you know, knowing nothing is knowing everything. It's like if you can accept, like, I truly know nothing. Like, you tell me the earth is flat, and I'm like, maybe. No. I really have no idea.
Nah, don't ever do that.
Why?
Don't. Because, like, you're training your mind to accept something so... A bit out of,
but it's perspective.
No, there's no flat earth.
And what do you know, bro?
There's no flat earth. There's no even.
But what if the universe is flat?
We'd still be round in the universe.
If the universe is flat?
If the universe was flat, we'd still be round.
Would everything?
Because you're not. You're considering flat, but not density. So what if it's flat? It's a CD. It's a CD going in a disc player, but the density of it, what if that's
different
where
dimensions.
We're at, and that's why we're spinning
like a disc.
Well, make sure you guys play us on repeat. Go back to season 1, 2
yes.
and 3.
Yes.
Do you guys Damn. Talk about the flat earth a lot?
No, I just hate flat earth, man, because I've really given a lot of thought, because people were like, bro, and this, and I was like, no, bro.
Oh, I mean, no, they've done tests that if there is a curvature to the earth, that Correct. Is that, yeah, you can't go against that.
Can't go against science, bro.
But what you can go against is where science is starting from, the perception of science. Because again, science is fact until science has been disproven, because we truly did not know something else like that was possible.
Until it happened.
Yeah. Until
it happened. So again, to believe that in this moment in time, we can claim almost anything as a fact of the universe, I think is almost ignorant to a certain degree. Because in 1,000 years, they might discover something else that disproves it. And it's like, we're not wrong right now, given what we know and the information. But it's like, holy shit, if we found out this whole thing was a hologram and we're in somebody's fucking computer and shit,
this
and none
whole
of it's
time
real.
The earth was flat. Like,
yeah, like, again, it's like
the Truman Show, right?
Yeah, it's like, oh shit, I was a fucking idiot. No, you weren't an idiot. You just, there's no way you could possibly
know
that we're in a computer. Like, we're on the back of a sea turtle. Like, nobody, you couldn't know
we're
that.
We're on the back of a giant sea turtle.
You've heard that theory?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty dope. It's not bad.
That's right.
I mean, it's
again
super limited to, like, the imagination should have been a little bit more broad.
Of course.
But there's someone out there who believes. And as long as you believe, that's all that matters, right?
Don't stop.
But it's like a belief in just the possibility. I would never again say the earth is definitely flat. The earth is definitely not. Like, no.
You believe, you
tell me that? Maybe. You know what?
You're not going to argue with
I'm
us.
Not gonna fucking
I'm
not going to argue with
I'm never going to
argue
with George
is going to argue with you.
No, I won't.
Yeah,
no, I really won't. I'll just be like, damn.
Okay. You believe in dinosaurs?
What do you mean, believe in dinosaurs?
Like, were the dinosaurs real?
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, like, you said, like, you believe in them? Like, you saw the unicorns, too?
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you tell me that all the dinosaur fossils were put in museums by the museums that wanted to make money off of them, I would be like, maybe.
I mean, it's genius. It's genius.
Maybe.
It's genius, because, I could, you know, that would be ultra
That'd
genius.
That'd be super smart.
Think about it. Like, you're like, this never existed, but we're going to show you it kind of did.
And we're going to tell you birds came from them.
Yeah. I tried telling that to a girl one day whose dad was like an archaeologist.
Oh, my God.
She got very offended.
Absolutely.
But she's like, but you believe in God and a talking snake? And I'm like, no. I'm like, that's not what religion is. Like, what are you fucking with? Like, yeah. Like, some people.
Bro, I mean, we could take this much further. But we can't, just because we're
305 radio.
305 radio. We can't take it too far. My man, thank you for coming to the show today.
Of course,
greatly appreciated. Great convo. One more time, your website.
VonArthouse.org.
Forget the social media.
And you can find us
at 305 Radio on all social platforms. Send us a message, DM, something. I don't know. Whatever. Have a good one.
Peace.